This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We begin today with some of the economic underpinnings of the presidency of Donald J. Trump to this point, as expressed by his budget director, Mick Mulvaney. Mulvaney sat down with John Harwood of CNBC and The New York Times the other day, literally over a beer, by the way, so Harwood is doing something right, to talk things over. They went for a while. We are going to pick just a couple of things and tease them out a little bit. First of all, the news out of the Office of Management and Budget, the lifting of the federal hiring freeze and the state of the federal workforce. Here is Mulvaney with one quick caveat that I have to give you. They were in a bar, Harwood and Mulvaney were enjoying the aforementioned beer, so it's a bit noisy. Here you go.
The professional staff, the folks who are here for 10, 20, sometimes 30, I think there's been a couple folks there since the 1970s, have really stepped it up. It may be the deep state, it may be whatever you want to call it. Yeah. All I know is that I go into these meetings and I have discussions with these folks about my budget, and I cannot tell which one of them is a Democrat or Republican, and that's the way it's
supposed
to be.
You're pleased by what you've found.
Absolutely.
Unsaid in that bit is the point that, end of the hiring freeze or not, President Trump wants to make the federal workforce smaller by a lot. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains how that might go.
So the federal government can start hiring again, but most federal agencies still have to trim their staffs. The memorandum lifting the freeze says they have until June 30th to submit draft plans to reduce their workforces.
The emphasis should less be on slashing staff than aligning staff against the priorities that you have.
Max Steyer heads the Partnership for Public Service, a nonprofit that works for more effective government. He says the Trump administration can only make nips and tucks with things like federal hiring freezes.
You have to dance with Congress in order to get real change done in the government.
That's because Congress wrote the laws governing the civil service. If you wanted to, say, abolish a federal agency, you'd have to get Capitol Hill's buy-in, because Congress created that agency. That buy-in might not be so easy because some lawmakers have big job-creating federal agencies in their districts. Paul Light is a professor of public service at New York University.
Federal employees are spread across the United States. More than 80% of them work outside of Washington.
Also, Congress wouldn't want huge cuts to federal workers providing services that their constituents depend on, like Social Security checks. Jack Pitney is a professor of government at Claremont McKenna College.
If there are backlogs in processing various kinds of benefits, members of Congress are going to hear about it.
Pitney says there's a gap between the Trump administration's plans for the federal workforce and reality. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Another big promise from the Trump administration has been infrastructure spending. Harwood asked Mulvaney about that as well. And what you have to know as you hear this next piece of tape is that Mulvaney is what's known as a budget hawk, doesn't like a whole lot of federal spending, and infrastructure spending, $1 trillion over a decade, according to the most recent White House plan, is, well, you know, it's fine.
Infrastructure is sort of that good spending in the middle, where even if you do misallocate resources a little bit, you still have something to show for it. It's tangible. It may help economic growth and so forth.
Marketplace's Jed Kim is on the infrastructure desk today.
$1 trillion for infrastructure? That sounds like a lot of money. But Brian Palish with the American Society of Civil Engineers says, keep in mind that trillion's over 10 years. And we need double that.
The unmet investment needs are $2 trillion over the next 10 years.
The society gives a letter grade to U.S. infrastructure. Right now, it's a D+. The trillion mark isn't all government spending. It depends on public-private partnerships. Palish says there are much-needed projects that won't appeal much to the private sector.
If you're going to repair bridges or repair dams, and there's plenty of that that needs to be done, it's harder to find the return on investment.
Not everything is a toll road or a toll bridge. The Trump administration wants tax credits for infrastructure. Jess Feinberg is with management consultant Woodlawn Associates. He says there's no telling how many projects would qualify, and no telling how much demand from investors who buy such tax credits.
These folks tend not to have the tax appetite necessary to monetize a tax credit on the scale that the Trump campaign proposed.
We might only get to $1 trillion if those tax credits sell like hotcakes. The White House also wants to strip funding from the federal agencies that handle infrastructure, like the Army Corps. It says a new executive office can do projects faster. Congress will have to sign off on all of it. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Finally, from the Mulvaney-Harwood Chronicles, the federal debt and the size thereof. As you remember, probably, candidate Trump promised to get rid of the federal debt over two terms in the White House. President Trump's budget director says, yeah, no.
I think it's fairly safe to assume that that was hyperbole. I'm not going to be able to pay off $20 trillion worth of debt in 4 years. I'd be being dishonest with you if I said that I could.
Yeah.
The reason that the president doesn't want to raise some or change some of the mandatory spending is the president's, the public's not ready for it yet. They're ready for economic growth.
Marketplace's Mariel Segarra picks up on that last bit, learning to love growth and not worrying about the federal debt.
Getting rid of $20 trillion of debt over 4 years or even 8 years is not really possible. It's hard enough to pass a balanced budget in any given year. Joanne Weiner teaches economics at George Washington University.
No one wants to cut spending. No one wants to raise taxes. So how are you going to even get to a budget surplus, much less pay down the debt?
So if you take eliminating the debt off the table, what does that free the Trump administration up to do? For one thing, it might cut taxes, as President Trump has promised. Robert Bixby is the executive director of the Concord Coalition, a nonpartisan fiscal responsibility advocacy group.
They may be trying to give themselves some room for a big tax cut, because certainly if you're trying to pay off the debt, there's no room for a tax cut.
The Trump administration has also promised big economic growth. Backing off this plan to eliminate the debt could help with that. Rob Shapiro from Georgetown University and the economic advisory firm Sonicon says getting rid of the debt would require drastic spending cuts that would slow the economy.
When we spend money on defense, when we spend money on Social Security, on education, that money goes to companies or individuals who then spend it.
And now the president might be able to hold on to entitlement programs like Social Security and Medicare, which he promised to preserve. In New York, I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
Quick shout out to John Harwood and CNBC for all that Mulvaney tape, by the way. Of course, he probably expensed the beer. CNBC probably paid. I don't know.